Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob, and this is the next in the continuing series of Bible questions and answers. We're in the book of Daniel. It's chapter 11, verse 36. Let me read it. Then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods, and he'll prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done. And that's the beginning of a passage that seems to be about the tribulation period, the period that's covered in this passage. That's the question mark. And what clues tell us that we're in that time? It's coupled perhaps with the seven preceding verses. I told you in the last episode here that those last verses were kind of like a dual thing. They look like they already happened, but they look like they're going to happen too. But starting right here, it looks like future only. His words, Daniel's, sound much like the Apostle Paul's in 2 Thessalonians 2 when he's speaking of the man of sin who's going to come. It sounds like John's words in the Revelation 13 passage that describes the beast. Sounds like Jesus' words in Matthew 24. Put it all together, you've got a person that's going to exalt himself above every god. A person that's going to speak monstrous things. A person who will come to his end and nobody will be able to help him. This will be an unprecedented time of trouble in this period of history and in all of history. Everyone that's found written in the book is going to be rescued. There'll be two separate resurrections, resurrection of life and the resurrection to damnation, to disgrace. And that's how I take these verses in Daniel. I hope that you will read ahead. I just read 11:36, really all the way through 12:3. That's the end time passage part of Daniel. And you'll notice it flows right out of the historic section. It flows in such a way as to let you know that perhaps there's some unfinished business that the man of Daniel 11 has that he will come back and do. Now, I've covered all of this in another book, talking about the Antichrist. I've covered it in several books. You can check out my prophecy books. I hope that you will. I believe that I have something for the people of that day or this day. It looks like it's pretty close. I hope you will read it. I know there's a lot of stuff out there, but you would just read it and discern and see if maybe I've gotten on to something here. How about Daniel 11 again, 36, that same passage, the first few verses. My question is, who is the king? It says, then the king will do as he pleases. That's what's so fascinating about this chapter. As you're going through 11, you're talking about the king of the north and the king of the south. And I told you that's the Syrian wars. And you can identify these different men historically. They are historically identifiable. And that last king of the north is Antiochus Epiphanes. Everybody knows who that is, and everyone thinks that Daniel 11 and all the talk about Antichrist in that book is just about him, but that's not true. Or is it? It would be true if indeed that same man is going to return. Who is this king? The flow of the text seems to be leading the reader to think that this is just another king of the north. And indeed it was originally. This Epiphanes. But by the time you get to verse 40, a change has taken place. Thousands of years have passed. And that same king, it seems, is back. Strong-willed, now Satan-filled, determined to finish what he started, I believe, and bring the entire world under his control. Satan has found his man, and that man is waiting. You don't have to wait for him to be born on earth. He was already born on earth. Don't you see that Revelation talks about a resurrection? Somebody's going to be resurrected, not born and raised, and you can trace him through the newspaper every day, and then you'll know. Oh, no, no, no. It's a miraculous entry. Read 2 Thessalonians. Miraculous. Something's going to happen. Miraculous. And the people of the world will go bananas. You know how sheepish the people of the world are. They go for anything that the news comes up with, and they'll believe this just like they've believed everything else. Maybe CNN will report it, but no, that's another story. In verse 40, there's a change that's taken place. He who had been in ancient days the king of the north is now being attacked by the king of the north. It all just transitions here. And he's actually being attacked by the king of the south at the same time. A Middle Eastern coalition led by Syria. That's not too hard to believe, is it? A Northern African coalition led by Egypt. Even that makes some sense. We will see. But when it's all said and done, Daniel 11 will be perfectly fulfilled, just as it has, most of it has already been fulfilled. Would you move on with me to Daniel 11:41? He will enter the beautiful land. And then it talks about some nations that will be rescued from his hand, Edom and Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon. How do you explain the presence of Edom and Moab in a last days passage? Moab and Edom and portions of Ammon are said to escape. I wrote about this in a former work. I explained it by the proposition that they had escaped hundreds of years before by actually going out of existence. There is no Edom, Moab, Ammon today. Now, that's as far as I could see it then. It would be literally true. But it wasn't totally satisfying to me. I have some better conclusions now. First, you must understand the dilemma here. If you're following the text, you must have surmised by now that this passage is an end-time scenario. It starts here in 36, goes all the way to chapter 12, verse 3. It just blends right into the tribulation time of the end and into the resurrections. You'll know you're talking about the end by the time you get finished with that passage. By the end times, actually quite some time ago, Edom and Moab and the old Ammonite nation disappeared from the human race, according to prophecies of Isaiah and others. How can they reappear here? There is this one line of explanation, just as Babylon. Think with me now. Babylon did not meet its final doom. Read the prophecies about Babylon. It was predicted that they would fall. Babylon would fall immediately, many centuries ago, and would be revived to meet its final fate, as described in the book of Revelation. So perhaps these three nations are in that same category. They would slowly rise, even in our day, and repopulate in our time, and then face the wrath of God at Jesus' coming. Assyria also, though not scheduled for judgment again, is an end-time player, yet nowhere to be seen today as an independent nation. I've met many Assyrians. I meet them in Albany Park. They're convinced that they've got a role to play in the world. They call themselves a Christian nation. One other possibility, and I find this the most intriguing at the present, the word countries is not in the original. And in many translations, you won't find the word countries. Could it be that the angel is speaking here of the territory of these three nations, the boundaries of which would roughly cover, by the way, modern Jordan? Amman just happens to be the capital of that country of Jordan. Jordan has changed loyalties through the years. It's often been a good neighbor in the region. Will God allow Jordan to be spared? Is that what we're reading here? I don't know. I do know God's word cannot be false. It will be true. You'll see how it will work out. How about Daniel 12, verses 11 and 12, the last couple of verses in this book? Not exactly. No, we're going to have one more question after that. All right. How long is the tribulation according to the angel in Daniel? Let me just read it. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, according to Daniel, the very end of Daniel, it hasn't happened yet, there will be 1290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1335 days. Okay. Seems that a seven-year period is still out there to be fulfilled, according to the chapter 9 prophecy. Here we see only half of that period. In Revelation, that half is known as the Great Tribulation by New Testament scholars. Here it looks like the covenant is broken by Antichrist. No sacrifices are allowed. Remember, he starts a seven-year thing. Says to the Jews, you can have your sacrifices, your temple, it's all good, you're going to be fine, but you got to give us something too. There's something that happens there, a covenant. But the Antichrist himself, just halfway through the covenant, breaks it, says you can't have sacrifices, I changed my mind. Then there's some ambiguity. It's now 1290 days, roughly 3.5 years, until the abomination of desolation is set up, or are the set up and the broken covenant happening at the same time? If the former, the 1290 days, is the first half of the tribulation's 7 years, if the latter, it's the second half. I think most prefer the latter. That makes verse 12 quite interesting to us. If 1290 days is the full amount of the great tribulation, the worst of history, what about those extra 45 days mentioned in verse 12. Since such a blessing is placed on those who live through it, could it be that these last 6 weeks will be horror piled upon horror, and only the strongest of God's people will be able to endure it? Is that what that's about? I guess you see I don't subscribe to the theory that so-called tribulation saints are some second-class citizens who just didn't make it the first time around. Oh, there's not a hint in Scripture about such a thing, just for your information. How about Daniel 12:13? But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. The latter part of Ezekiel talks about allotments of territory. My question here, what do you think is the reference to Daniel's allotted portion? Ezekiel talks about this very thing. Certain people, certain groups are going to get certain allotments in Israel. That's the Jewish people. Gentiles will have their place too. Jesus told his apostles that he went to prepare a place for us, for them, for us. Can we surmise that there is indeed a place for every true child of God, though a pilgrim here and wandering, a place out there for all of us? Oh, yeah, I think we can surmise that. Well, that's the end of Daniel. And I believe that's the end of Bible studies for a little while. I'll explain perhaps more next week. Got to go away for a little bit here soon. Those that are listening today, this is, what is today? January 13, 2017. Those of you who are listening to me in 2020 or whatever, this means nothing, I understand, but I'm talking to people who watch or listen every day, and you just need to know that for a few days, maybe a week or two, I have to go away. There's something that this doctor wants to take care of inside of my body, and it's going to take a little while to get back to where I ought to be. So I need your prayers if you're listening today. I may indeed show up one day early next week and do a thing on the Jehovah Witnesses or so on, but we'll stop the Bible studies temporarily. When we come back, we'll finish Hosea. We'll finish the whole Old Testament. I'm almost finished with the entire New Testament. This will be in a book form. All that you've been hearing on the Bible study will be a huge, like 400-page workbook-style book coming up, Lord willing, in the next 2 or 3 months. And I'm enjoying the possibility of that being out there for you. Meanwhile, check out my website. When you see that I haven't been able to come to that day and put something new, as you will the next couple of weeks maybe, would you just go to the website and look through it yourself? Got a wide range of Christian issues that we've talked about. We read the works of several great men of God. We do a whole series on North Korea with North Korea updates in photos and a whole 400 audio thing called the North Korea audio web blog. We talk about the Quran. I've got a series on Muhammad. I've got many prophecy studies. I've got a through the Bible course, Bible commentaries. We talk about the situation of the church and so much more. Please browse and check me out. Go to the store in this website, click on store and see if you'd like to purchase any of those books. Almost everything that I've said on Sermon Audio is now in book form one way or another. And then write me a note, ask me a question, suggest a topic for study or a book for reading, send me a prayer request, or just say hi. I like to hear from you. Check in from time to time to see what's going on here at the Hackberry House of Chosun website, sermonaudio.com. God willing, I will talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.